Today we hear from the incredible Sherry Kutu CBE. Sherry is a serial entrepreneur and angel investor who serves on the boards of companies, charities and universities. She really is incredible. Sherry chairs Founders for Schools, WorkFinder, the Scale Up Institute and the Financial Strategy Advisory Group for the University of Cambridge. During this session, Sherry will be discussing why startups are less important than scale-ups in terms of economic growth and how you can turn your startup into a scale-up gracefully.
Hello, my name is Sherry Kutu, and I'm here to talk to you today about why growing a company is more important than starting a company, and also about some of the top tips that I have for how to grow or scale up your company gracefully. And just at a high level, I just wanted to go through some little known facts about businesses in the UK in particular. So in the UK, we're really great at starting up companies, and we're better at starting up companies than in most other countries. But keeping these companies growing or even going, we're less good at. For instance, of 100% of the companies that get started up in any year, just surviving sort of 1 year, you lose about 70%. So getting up to 10 employees, for instance, that takes you down to 96% of companies don't get up as high as that. And again, high growth, which is growth of more than 20%, not very much. The average company that started up, the average median sales of a six-year-old firm in the UK is less than £23,000. So there's a big difference between small companies and scale-ups and large companies. And I want us to focus on how to get your company from startup to scale up to quite a lot larger. And how do I get from, say, 10,000 in revenue to 1 million in revenue? Or if you're at 1 million in revenue, how you get up to 10 million? And one of the reasons I would love to help us all think about that is because at an economic level, we're a lot better as an economy if we're growing our company year in and year out. There's a few different ways of thinking about it. We did a lot of work and found that those who managed to grow their companies really were focusing on six things. One is onboarding and acquiring talent for their company. The second was making sure that the people who worked in their company were growing themselves and had training. The third is understanding how you access various markets. Some of them, large companies who would buy yours rather than direct to consumer, were really strong in the UK on B2B, thinking also on exporting. Think a little bit about finance. You can often access finance, but if you haven't sorted out how to acquire staff, how to train staff, how to access customers, then you don't really need to worry about finance because it's the least of your worries. These are the tips from having surveyed several thousand people who did grow their revenues. So hopefully it'll be helpful. One is to make sure you've got a big enough problem. I know that may sound a bit trite, but if we want to grow and keep on growing, we want to make sure that lots of people have the problem that we're trying to solve rather than too few. So I think stress testing your ideas makes a lot of sense. The second is making sure that you embed yourself in the right network. Try to always think 3 months, 6 months, a year ahead and think, am I surrounding myself with people that understand where I need to be in the next little while? It could be that you need to widen up your networks. And the easy way of doing that is by joining some networking groups or going to a conference or these other sorts of things. But get out of your comfort zone and think about where you need to go and who you need to know. I think this might be the most important point, and it talks to who you bring onto your team. Swapping out your team and augmenting it with other folks is really important. If you look at people who have managed to grow their company, the thing that they become very good at is recruiting people who have done it before. And by thinking about done it before, not just in another setting, but grown something before. So I would really look for making sure that they have grown a company. But if you're five and you think that you're going to go 25 or even 100, make sure you hire someone who has operated at that and operated a company, getting them from smaller up to larger. It's very tempting to hire somebody who's in your own network or hire somebody who's done what you're currently doing, but you want to make sure that, you know, it's easy for them to do the job when they arrive and it gets aggressively more difficult. I think this is the same thing. Hire for tomorrow, not for today. Don't think about, this is the customer who I need help with right now. Think, in 3 years' time, what's the skill set that I need around this table? And also, who has a different skill set than the one that I have? Because again, diversity is super important. And by diversity, of course, I mean gender, and of course, I mean ethnicity and race and BAME. But what I really mean also is diversity of skill set and also diversity of mindset. It's too easy to get too many people with the same skill set in your company that try very hard to think about diverse skill sets. And by diverse mindsets, for me, that's really important. I'm a very optimistic individual, and I need people on my team who are almost pessimistic by nature so that they can help see problems that I might otherwise not even see or might convince myself don't exist. So the diversity is a really important point. I also think it's one of the joys of working in a small company or running your own company is that you choose who's there. And part of the pushback is making sure that you don't have people who are just like you, which brings us on to thinking about nurturing company values. I think the single most important thing of your business is you don't have to compromise on company values. And I think making sure that you know what they are and that you support other people also knowing what they are. So I think writing them down, making sure in your onboarding of folks that they're clear about what the company values are. As you grow from, let's say, 5 to 25 people, you start to think, you know, what are the actions that I need to take as a leader to make sure that the values that I hold strong are upheld? And part of that is in the interviewing and the recruitment. But I think it's also making sure that every day you've got checks on what feels right and what feels wrong. And sometimes when you join a company and you hire a lot of people, you've heard that founders end up exiting. And I think that's always such a shame when that happens. And the way to protect yourself and your company from that is by thinking really hard about the company values and what you need to do with everybody to preserve those and maintain them. Building systems at scale is an important thing to continue thinking about. And it's also very hard. And by that, I mean, you can think, oh, every customer is entirely unique. And I want to do something for every customer that absolutely reflects them. I've met some companies that I've invested in that had something like 25 different sets of terms and conditions for 25 different types of customers. And you tend to trip over yourself if you don't build systems at scale and also build mindsets of how you scale. Try to be very mindful about that and take a step back and ask, are we using templates? Is everybody empowered? How do we do that? And for heaven's sakes, do we have 25 different copies of something similar? Because that can trip you up. And when you get a product that is, you know, working really well, if you have made something bespoke for every single customer, then it's a lot harder to scale into a global company. And it's good when you're able to do that. It's good for you, it's good for your customers, and it's good for your shareholders. And it's also good for your employees because they get the stability that comes along with that. So I wanted to talk a little bit about test product market fit, going back to your customers and making sure that it's working for them. As small companies, I think we often win by super delighting our customers and testing with each iteration of the product that we have that they love it and they love it more than version one is really important. And it's something that we in small companies can do really easily or a lot more easily than in large companies or at already scaled companies. And it makes a lot of sense. So the testing, sometimes it's called A/B testing, sometimes it's releasing products and prototypes and seeing how it goes. I think that's really important for us as we grow and as we scale. And it also keeps the innovation in our economy going. I spoke about hiring talent and then nurturing that talent. And again, it's also diversity of talent and mindset of talent and product market fit with a single product in a single market. And if you go into a different market, how you extend that. And now I want to talk a little bit about finance. There are all sorts of types of finance. And it's easy to become bewildered. So if you're a small company that's growing, you need to remember those statistics that we went through earlier, that only 3% of companies, you know, ever grow quickly. So most of the products that are on the market that are easy to find out about really aren't for you or your company if it's growing quickly. So you need to think about what is that? If you're in a tech company, it may mean that you take sort of angel money, and then after that, you take venture money, and then after that, you take strategic money. I think taking customer money is the most important thing that all of us should focus on, but think really hard about it. And on your advisors and board members, make sure that you have access to people who understand that part of the journey, because it's ever-changing and changes fairly quickly. I think exporting is super important. And one of the things that we don't do as well in the UK is export. So think about if your product is working in the UK, it's probably likely to work in France and Germany or India or China as well. And what are the things that you would need to do that? And think also about surrounding yourself, people on your team who have sold products in other countries and directors and advisors who have also operated in an international context. They will make the next steps easier for you to maintain. If you want to grow and keep on growing, probably the single most important thing is focusing on your people and growing yourself. In the recent times with COVID, which we're all suffering from, I think a lot of people have been worrying about running out of money. And I think we need to be more guarded. So what are some of the things that you can do to not run out of money? I think plan and plan again, do some different scenarios. Think about how you can use flexible working and flexible workers. I think that that can be really helpful. You know, we all hear about the gig economy, but I think to small businesses, hiring groups of people from the gig economy or flexible working, and even students and interns is a really important aspect that we can and should do. If I think about over the summer at the moment with Digital Boost, we've hired 11 interns from 3 different universities at the moment. They're doing phenomenal work, projects that all have to do with setup for some projects that we want to run. And they will allow the stable, more permanent staff to operate really well from September. But there was a bunch of projects, a bunch of things that we needed to get done. And the easiest way for us was to reach out to the university and say, do you have student teams that can help us on that? And I think we should bear that in mind for the acquisition of talent and getting projects that are sort of bulky in terms of human resources. I think the other thing that I'm excited about is products and services like WorkFinder, which give us access to prepackaged projects and students from all over the place. We're almost blessed at the moment with working virtually. We can expand very easily without thinking, how do I accommodate 12 extra people in my small office? Well, with virtual work experience, it doesn't really matter. You can have people working in China and in Seattle and in India on a project for your company. And it's pretty seamless. I mean, I think you have to choose the times that you have your meetings carefully, and you need to be clear about what you ask folks to do. But I think it's super important. The last thing I think I would say in conclusion about trying to scale gracefully, finding a global client, let's say it's a large corporate, and working with them on something innovative in one country, and assuming that that works well, really tagging along with them so that they bring you into a bunch of other countries. It gives them an innovative product that's built into their offerings, and it de-risks how hard it is usually to enter another country. So that's a nice growth hack if you have international ambitions, one of the easiest ways that I've seen it done. So I wish you well. The final thing I would say is find other folks like you who are running businesses like the ones that you're running, and get them on a WhatsApp group or meet for coffee or find some other way of interacting with them, because I think it's really, really powerful finding like-minded folks that are similar to you, so that as you navigate these uncertain times and places, you've got somebody that you can turn to. So I wish you luck. I hope that some of these might be helpful hints for you. And keep in touch. I can be contacted at SCOUTU on Twitter. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Such an inspiration, so full of wisdom. I honestly cannot thank you enough for being my guest on this episode of She Talks Tech. If you want to find out more about Sherry, you can find details on LinkedIn. I would encourage you all to look at Founders for Schools. They're always looking for volunteers. Once again, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Don't forget, we release a new episode every Wednesday. Do join us. And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave us that all-important 5-star rating.